Oh, how you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
MH100.
Peyton Prince.
Father Jones.
Adam Henry.
TJ Laramie, and you're listening to Windy City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Drake Zamora, and you're listening to Wind City Sports, Windsor's only local sports radio program and podcast on CJAM 99.1 FM, where we are now reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit. New episodes of Wind City Sports drop here on CJAM every Thursday, live at 8 p.m. Replays are now on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. You can hear all of our old shows on SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcast. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and if you haven't seen on social media this week, it is now easier than ever to access Wind City Sports, whether it be on the radio version or on the podcast at windcitysports.com. So check it out right now, during this, after this, every day, whenever you want, windcitysports.com. Today is Thursday, August 2nd, and it is episode 107 of Wind City Sports. This week, we have a very unique and awesome guest for you guys. Something that we've never really done here before. It is a hockey-themed episode, but the guest that we have today is like none other. This man was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario, before moving out to Nevada about 20 years ago. There he started a family and started to learn his trade, where he eventually landed a job as one of the best ice technicians in the National Hockey League. From the Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL, it's George Salami. George is the Knights' ice crew chief, so if you don't know what that means, he's basically the head of the department that takes care of the ice, the Zambonis, the resurfacers. So like I said, we've had many players and coaches in all sports, yet alone the hockey world here on Wind City Sports in the last 2 years. This is the first time we've had an ice technician or Zamboni driver or anyone of this sort on the show. For anyone that is in this line of work, or even if you're a hockey fan, this is going to be a special treat for you. I want to thank the girls over at T-Mobile Arena, Allison Wadman and Catherine Schur, two girls that organized this interview with George. As mentioned before, he's head of the ice crew and conversion crew over at the T-Mobile Arena, had some downtime this summer to chat with me. We talk about the art of making ice for the NHL. Obviously, we talk about the rise and success of the Vegas Golden Knights in this past season, and a little bit of a prediction of what to expect this season from the Golden Knights. I can go on and on about just the opportunity to speak to this guy and all the stuff that we talked about, but I want to get right into it and then maybe have a few minutes to break down some local sports news. So here we go, George Salami, Las Vegas Golden Knights, and T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time to do this first, though.
I was just in Windsor, Detroit just a couple of weeks back for an NHL conference we had there.
Oh, really? I completely missed that. I didn't even know that was going on.
Well, it's just for the NHL buildings. They get together once a year and,
okay,
you know, go over how their season went and, you know, just the networking thing, talk with the crews and see how things went and what they can do better or, you know, things like that.
Well, cool. Very interesting. I took sport management in school and actually used to be a rink attendant for a little while, too, the Zamboni driver at the WFCU Center in Windsor.
So. Oh, did you really?
Yeah. So I did a couple of years. I still actually am. I have an occasional job out in Bell River at the arena there. Yeah, for a while I thought I was going to be doing the rink attendant gig for a long time.
So is that how long you've been doing that?
3 years. Actually, almost 4 years now.
Awesome.
Yeah, in September. Actually,
well, I'm looking for a couple guys if you want to come out.
I'd love to, man. Here, I actually started in Sarnia when I went to school there. I started driving a little bit at the arena there. And then I came down to Windsor and landed a job here and just tried to make it into a career, but I just ended up getting a full-time job somewhere else. So I'd love to get back into it one day, though.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of guys like yourself, well, you know, don't take offense to it, but a lot of guys are just consider themselves drivers. It's an art, you know. It's it really is. And to drive for the NHL and or, you know, a big building, and you got to know what you're doing, you know what I mean? It's just not going out there and just flooding. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys just, you know, use water to do what they need to do. You know, you got to really know how much to shave, when to shave, what to do, the whole deal. It's pretty interesting. It's great. My kid actually drives during the games, my youngest son.
That's cool. I had read that one article at the Windsor Star. It said it kind of was like a family business for you. I think your daughter's working for you as well.
Yeah, and my oldest son, well, no, my daughter just left because she's actually looking to advance her career with a city position, believe it or not. She's more career oriented. The boys are into the hockey thing. That my oldest son runs. He's the lead skater for the shoveling crew, so he does the TV timeouts. But my youngest sons do they are the operators on the machines.
That's cool.
It's pretty interesting.
It is.
It's fun having them around for sure.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's the thing. It was like, you know, if I can work around something I love, then why not? Why wouldn't you want to do something like that, right? No matter how big or small the job is.
Oh, no. It's one way or the other. You know, you got to look at it like you do. I do love my job, but also, you know, it's, you know, these younger guys, they got to get paid for it, too. So it's not really something that they do full time because, you know, hockey season is only 6 months a year. So, but the other got other irons in the fire as well. So, but it's fun in the meantime.
Absolutely, man. And like you said, I just touch upon about the art of making ice. It really is. Like, I was just starting to get that feel for it a little bit, you know. But I know guys even that had been driving for 10 years are like, I still don't, you know, fully can feel the ice. It's hard to, for me at least, to actually feel it when you're driving, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, like, I poached a guy. You know, remember, we're in Las Vegas, so there's a few rinks here in Nevada. I've been here for 20-plus years. There's some operators around, but majority are just drivers. They don't, you know, they don't understand the art aspect of it. Like, most guys will go out there and they'll pick up, you know, a wheelbarrow or two. They'll barely shave, but, and just dump a whole pile of water trying to hide what the hockey players did to the ice. Here, what we do is, in most of the buildings, you've been around hockey games. So there's two Zambonis, there's two ice resurfacers on the ice. So each machine, we pull up a full bucket.
On each machine?
So if you, on each machine. Oh, yeah. We cut our ice excessively. Like, we're digging it right out because we want to get as many grooves out as possible. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then you have minimal grooving, minimal etching, and that water will fill that perfectly. So when you look at your sheet during a game, it looks like a sheet of glass.
That's what you want.
Looks like they haven't even skated on it. That's what you want. And that's why we get the reports we get. You know, I don't know if you guys know really the depth of how the NHL works, but the referees, when they come out to skate first, they're the ones that are really judging your ice.
Mm-hmm.
They come out, they skate around, they look at the nets, and they're just giving the feel for the ice. They feel for the hardness, the quickness, the whole deal. They just know what's going on. And the players as well, that we have team reports where we'll get, you know, they'll give us a rating on our ice, how it was. And we're always at the top. So it's just, it's care. It's a love. It's a passion for the sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you want these guys to have a good game, and, you know, it's a professional sport. Not only do you want your team to do the best, but you want both teams to do the best, right? That's how hockey is. You know, it's a team thing, and, you know, win or lose, you just want to give them the best product possible, right?
Yeah, and there's no way you can make it better for one than the other, but that's one thing that I always...
No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. It's ice. So, but that's one thing that I was always interested in is dealing with this stuff and creating the best ice and, you know, what to do and when to do it on the machine or off the machine, whatever. That's the stuff that I was always interested in, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's... There's so much, Drake, it goes into it. Like, people don't understand how much maintenance.
Absolutely.
We do so much maintenance daily. Like, our sheet is like, it looks like a mirror. I mean, we got the best ratings this year, and it was unbelievable. I don't know if you heard the shout-outs we got from Don Cherry.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And, like, everybody, bro. It's such a, what a feeling. How much more can you ask than that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, once again, we go back to square one. Do you care? We give the best product out there.
Mm-hmm.
People look and go, you take that much snow? Oh, yeah, we cut it.
Yeah.
We're cutting two full buckets a period.
And this is NHL, too. Like, I'm used to OHL or even just minor, you know? Like, they cut up the ice like crazy, the OHL kids here. So, like, obviously, NHL's worse.
Oh, yeah.
And you're taking that the snow that they've just cut up from their skates as well, you know? That's why you have so much snow in a tank, too, right?
Well, yeah. Well, but OHL, they don't shovel like we do, right?
You know, they don't.
NHL... We have a
twice, I think.
We have a shoveling crew.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
but
I think they do it.
You guys do it every 5 minutes. We do it every 10. So once a period.
Yeah,
you
do it once a period. We do
Pretty
it
much.
Three times a period.
Exactly.
We do it 9 times a game.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's really minimal. It's really minimal. We're actually cutting because you got to cut the grooves out because they're digging really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys. I mean, the OHL kids skate too. Believe me,
I
was raised in Ontario. Well, look at the most of the guys are coming from the OHL and the Western League and the American League,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? These are a lot of Canadian boys in there, boys. Shout out to the Canadians, right?
Hell yeah.
You know? Can Hell you, yeah! But that's these guys know how to skate. I mean, that's their gig, and we want to cut it out. We just got to give them the best sheet possible. But anyway, go ahead.
So you had mentioned you've been out in Las Vegas or Nevada 20 years now, but you said you know Canada's home. Let's just talk a little bit about growing up in Windsor. I'm sure you're always a big hockey fan, and you know, just tell me about growing up here and what do you remember about, you know, maybe Spitfire games or playing hockey in Windsor.
Well, it's believe it or not, I could never skate. You know, I'm the Iceman for an NHL club, and I don't know, there's a disconnect from my neck to my feet, like, you know. Yeah. But we played ball hockey. I don't know if you're, you know, you've been in Ontario, but it was either ball hockey or ice hockey. So, but you know, and being you know back in the day. You know, things were tight economically for families, right? You know, so we couldn't really afford to play hockey. Nonetheless, it was buying us a hockey stick and we'd go out and play in the street with the guys or at school. But Windsor's home. It's, you know, I was born in Alberta when my parents first immigrated to Canada. We immigrated right to Alberta, Western Canada, and then my dad landed a job for Chrysler. That's how we ended up in Windsor.
Okay.
But that's home. Your adolescent years are the most memorable for your childhood and for your teenage years, right? You know, that's where you're growing up, your roots start to grasp and where you become, you know who you are, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I agree with you.
You know, my friends there are my brothers. Like, you know, I'd like to put out the shout out to Jeff and Jim and Don and Tom and all these guys. These are guys I've known my whole life. My entire life, you know, I'm pushing 54. I've known these guys since the age of six. It's unbelievable. And we still, till this day, every week, we're touching base, texting, calling, hanging. That's just the way it is. It's an upbringing that people really don't understand or relate to anymore.
Yeah.
It's sad, but today's society, it's such, the pace is so quick and you forget about your upbringing, your roots, you know, like, it's very difficult for, you know, believe me, I'm a dual citizen. I love the U.S., but I love Canada as well. And you know how it is, you know, Canada roots, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
I got a jacket. So it's roots. That's our home. And it's just it's a feeling that's amazing, you know?
Gotta love it, man. You know, not everyone has that, like you're talking about, your connection with your friends there, but that's the way it pretty much should be. That could be my opinion, but it's the way it is, you know. Let's talk about getting into the ice making business. Did you start somewhere and kind of build your way up to the job at T-Mobile, or how did that happen?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how it starts. So my kids, you know, when we left Canada, they were only five. Let me see. So we left in '96. So my kids were three. The oldest was three or four. But here in Nevada, people didn't realize there was hockey in Las Vegas. There's a two sheet facility that's been here for many, many years. And long story short, so my kids got into hockey, started skating, you know, because we're watching it. You know, we born and raised it, bred in it. You watch it in Canada. That's all we do is watch hockey. Canada's not baseball or football. We're hockey, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So here, when we knew there's a hockey rink, we got them into playing hockey. And it started then, you know, it first began. One day I was coaching house league, believe it or not, and the Zamboni broke down on the ice and at another arena. And the wife calls and says, at the time, George, the machines broke down on the ice. We're stuck. So I go, nobody could figure out how to get the Zamboni going. And it was, long story short, it just snowballed from there. I first got into I'm a mechanical guy. My background's mechanical.
Okay.
So I got the machine going, and then I was just curious, you know, I really didn't dig into how ice was made or anything like that. Back in Ontario or Alberta, we'd go in the backyard, we'd flood our backyard, you have a rink. You know what I mean? Like, you shovel your grass or your snow, and you that's our hockey rink. So we didn't really have a chance to go watch Spitfire games or the Red Wings. You can't go in there and ask them to look at mechanical rooms and things like that. So this really interested me. So the owner of the Las Vegas Ice Center was like, George, you know, do you want to do something part-time? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. And that's how it began, you know, 20-plus years ago. You know, it's 25 years if you're looking into it. And, you know, but I started off with the compressor systems and the plant and how that makes a concrete slab cold, and then understanding the ice. You know, the heart of the system is the plant, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But then the playing surface is number one, period. And that's when you really need to understand the ice. You know, how much to cut, you know, what your TDS is, what your parts per million are, you know, how cold it is, how soft it is, how it goes on and on and on. And there's so much to it. It's just not, you just don't take the hose inside of a building and put it on the concrete floor and expect to get a sheet of ice. It would never happen like that. We build a sheet one layer at a time. It's like building a phone book. That's how we build an ice sheet. Have you ever seen the process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you get into it and you understand it. I don't know how in-depth they are in the OHL or the Western Hockey League or whatever, but, you know, when you get to this level, like, because we have, you know, broadcast and live broadcast and, you know, broadcast across the world, they want these lines to pop. And they don't want, a goal, you know, can, you know, if a puck's down over the red line, you know, that line is so fine, it has to be, you know, perfect. It's got to be flawless. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's what we do. We get right into it. Like, we're watching every layer we're doing. I'm changing temperatures and changing the hardness of my water, change the pH of my water, because I'm watching what's happening, what's going on, you know? So, sorry, I got off subject there, but that's how
no
I got
problem.
Into it. I got way back in the day and it just became, more and more of a love that, you know, I'm really loving this. And, you know, every time I'd come in and do a sheet for somebody, they'd call and say, "Hey, George, you know, why don't you come help us out here? Come out and help us there." And it just led from one thing to another. And look where I am today. You know, it's a blessing, you know.
That's awesome, man. Like, there's so much that goes into it. And that's, like, the interesting part, too, right? It's people that might not realize that. What was cool, like, obviously, like we were talking before, you don't know how the OHL level does it. I'm sure the NHL is just, you know, above and beyond. But the cool thing for us was to see when we had the Memorial Cup come in here, the CHL come in and do their thing, or we have like the Russia-Canada series, the other crews coming in, kind of some more expertise. I always found that was really cool.
Oh, it's a fantastic thing. There were so many applicants, you know, when I was, interviewed, I actually before, it's a long story, so I can make it real short. I heard through the grapevine many years I've done Wayne Gretzky's tournaments. He held them here in Las Vegas for the past 14, 15 years, and I would do the ice for him. And, you know, 40 or 50 of the NHLers, he'd be down for his fantasy camp. And I heard him one night, we're talking and just hanging out, and he said, you know, something stern, there's going to be possibly hockey in Nevada. And I'm thinking, no, there's no way, come on, you know. But one thing led to another, so I started to do some digging, and found out, yeah, they're really looking into it. So, it just, you know, one thing led to another. You start to, if you want something real bad, you start to manifest it, things happen. So I found out which company was going to be with MGM and got a contact in L.A., and I forwarded my resume to them and got a number, and it got to a person here in Las Vegas. And I was relentless. I was relentless for 2 years. I was emailing once a month, and he kept his resume on his desk. He told me, he said, "You wouldn't leave me alone." I said, "You know I'm not going to leave you alone." You know what I mean? And then finally he called me one day. We had a brief 5-minute phone conversation. I said, "Listen, I'm going to give you the best product you're going to see." I wasn't intimidated by any other NHL building. I knew my capabilities and abilities of making ice and what I see and what I saw. And we had the interview, and it was awesome. It went really well. They do panel interviews here. It went really well. And I told all the guys, I'm looking at them, and I said, you know, it's really bizarre. They're smiling. I'm smiling. They said, "What are you smiling at?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to leave until you tell me I got the job." You
that's
know,
awesome.
And they sort of liked it, and it's been good. It's a great company. T-Mobile's awesome.
Oh yeah, they've been doing
it's
great.
A great building.
Like every aspect.
It's fantastic. Even our building. You know, even the NHL. Everybody's concerned. How's the building going to do? You know, but you get together with the architects of our company and construction. They know what they're doing. You know, they're not going to come in and build a building like this and not think, you know, we're going to be able to provide anything. But, you know, then we had our times to test our sheets. We put numerous test sheets in the building, and we did it during the hottest times of the summer. We did it during the wettest times of the season, and we were rocking it. Our numbers were flawless all year long, all year. I mean, our temperatures. NHL has specific guidelines, right? Mm-hmm. What your humidity levels should be, what your outside, inside temperature should be, what your ice temperature should be, all that. We were within those guidelines every single game. We just, Drake, it was amazing. I mean, our reports, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, every game, the referees would come to the Zamp Tunnel, and they're like, Salami, the ice is, it's unreal, badass, great, what's going on, what are you guys doing? You know, and reports from other teams as well, you know, and it's a good thing. It's good to hear. Here we're in the desert. You got to think, we're doing a sheet of ice in the desert.
Like when people, when I say people don't realize, you know, what goes into it, it's like the outside weather affects it, and people don't, would never imagine, you know?
It's, sure, like we were in 100 plus degrees during the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? I mean, during the Stanley Cup finals, we were 100 plus degrees. But when, like, once again, when you're confident in your plant, in your building, in your engineers, in all of it, and you come together as a team, and, you know, we communicate, and it's a whole collaboration of everything, right? It's, look, guys, tomorrow's game one. It's going to be 103 degrees outside. So let's lock the building down tonight, what I call bowl effect. We go in, we close all curtains, close all drapes, close all doors to the entire building. We lock that building completely down. You try to not open a door anywhere. It's such a tight, tight thing, because the cooler you can keep it inside, just like your AC and your host, right? I don't know, you know, if you open the doors all the time when it's 100 degrees outside, it takes a lot more to cool.
Yep.
Can you imagine this building, 650,000 square foot building, how long it takes it to cool? Once we cool it right down, once we cool this building right down, the seating, the glass, the doors, everything has to cool at the same time too, right? It's just like your ambient temperature. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Everything gets cooled. Yeah. So everything gets cooled because everything gives off heat. So once you cool it down, by the time you open doors, you're perfect. So you're opening the doors, people are storming in the building, we got our AC cranking, the plants cranking, making ice, and our numbers were phenomenal. They were right where we needed to be. We didn't exceed them, we didn't deplete them. Our ice was at the top, and it is what it is because everybody worked together to understand what we needed to get done, you know?
Absolutely. It's a big team building or teamwork thing, but, you know, it's those little tricks and techniques that you need to do to make a big difference. Like, again, just people might not realize it. I find it really interesting,
sure.
Obviously, having some experience. I know a lot of people that I worked or work with are going to like to hear those stories. But we talked a little bit about, you know, the speculation of the team coming to Las Vegas and even, like, the building, like you said. But, of course, it's going to be a professional built ice and all that stuff. But let's talk about the team just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to see the reaction to the team, yet alone how well they performed?
Oh, you know, who wasn't? I mean, we were, you know, everybody from the get-go, it's a new franchise, you know, it's the old cliche, it's a brand new club, but they're not going to click the first season, they're not going to click the first five or six seasons. You don't know, you just, you know, who knows? They just came together. It was fate. It really is. You just look at it, these guys just came together, and they loved what they do. They loved the game, they enjoyed it, they had fun out there. That's the whole gig. I'm not a coach, you know, by any means, but you just see the reaction when they're coming to the arena. They walk by us every day because we're in the Zamboni room, so they're walking by us as the back of the building. You know, they come in, it's high fives, it's how's it going, and, you know, and then you're talking about ice as, or, you know, what'd you think today, what'd you think last night, and they're just thumbs up on that. But they're coming in to have fun, and they just clicked. It came together, you know. And remember, you know, my aspect of it, it's just my opinion. You know, these are a lot of guys that, you know, teams didn't believe in, right? You know, that's exactly what happened. You know, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these guys, look at Carlson.
Yep.
You know, the guy did 6 goals before he came to Las Vegas. He blows out the league with 44. How, I mean, you imagine what they were thinking then? You imagine what Columbus was thinking then? What did we do? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of guys getting a second chance or a new wave in their career.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. All of them. Every one of these guys. I mean, look at Fleury.
Yeah,
top, you know, a Stanley Cup champion,
yeah.
And you know they decide to cut him at the knees. Comes here and he takes us to the finals.
Yeah, and he's like, sticking around. He just extended his contract.
Sure, absolutely. So it's a great feeling, and I think they're going to click again. I think they have that taste that, you know, it's the taste in the mouth of let's go. We know what we can do, and it's confidence, it's building, and. It's unfortunate we fell just a little short, but not really. I mean, you know, first year Stanley Cup Finals, man, how do you beat that?
Oh, yeah.
How do you beat it? What a success story.
I was rooting for them. Like, That's just a great story, you know, like you said. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's great. And to be the ice guy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving these guys ice, man. You think about that. I'm like, talk about still nervous. I mean, I have a lot of years under my belt, right? But you're still like, oh, my God, because now everybody is going to be really everybody speculates everything. We were hearing remarks, oh, my God, it's 103 degrees today. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? And then, you know, of course, you saw the one game where I'm out there, you know, flash freezing some rust on the ice. And, you know, of course, we're taking a beat on the ice. But remember, Drake, you know, people don't realize these guys are skating on ice. They're skating on ice. They're not skating on concrete. So the ice is made to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The ice gives. You're going to end up with ruts and grooves. It's just good. That's just the way it is. And remember, bud, we're carrying 1 inch of ice. That's as long as the tip of your index finger.
Mm-hmm.
We're carrying 1 inch of ice, which is nothing. When these guys are skating in these corners, and remember, I'm at the corner at the Zam Tunnel. I'm right there because that's where my point of contact for the referees for the entire ice sheet is during the game. When these guys are kicking at the puck in a corner, they're kicking so hard, they will kick to the concrete. That's all. These guys are hard athletes that know what they're doing. And when they want that puck, they're going to get it. So, you know, you take a little beating. And what I want to do as a professional, I want to continue to give these guys the best product. So sometimes I'm going to go out there and I'm going to flash freeze a spot. If a referee points off the spot and says, hey, George, you got a deep spot here, I'm not going to wait till the TV timeout. Or I'm not going to wait till the intermission. I'll go out and flash freeze it to show them. Look, you're not going to. Don't worry about hitting that spot. You'll be perfect to skate over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I got you. So just to begin to kind of wrap things up here, just like you've seen every single game. You know, you're talking. I can tell you're passionate about your job and about the team, about the sport. Probably makes you want to go into work every day, also. But just quickly, any predictions for the season for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Bro, that's
a tough one. I'm sure.
Who can answer that question? I mean, come on, you can't answer that question. Like, who predicted Washington was going to come up as far as they did? They weren't even in playoff contention.
No, NHL is like the most unpredictable it's been in some time, and that's what's keeping it, you know, interesting and exciting, unlike basketball or something.
Well, Drake, people don't really understand. A lot of people don't understand the sport of hockey. They don't the depth of how intense it is. Remember. People think, oh, it's just easy. They're just they're gliding like figure skating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These guys don't realize you need to push on these skates. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's unbelievable. But who knows? Like, who knows? Do you think they were going to come up? Look at Florida. Look at Arizona, how they started coming up strong. You just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, the best teams were getting knocked off, and the worst teams were coming up strong, and we stayed that consistent glide all the way up. That graph, we were just consistently going up, 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 up. But next year, who knows, bud? But I'll tell you one thing. We're going to give them the same product. You know what I mean? They're going to get the same consistency as they did last year. And that's what it's all about, you know?
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
It's going
to
be fun.
If you ever come to Vegas, come on out, my friend.
Oh, I'd love to.
It's going to be a blast.
I'd love to.
I mean, we're doing today. We just ordered our new nets today. We ordered our... all our ice paid because, you know, another 8 weeks we're putting our ice in and it's going to be starting all over again, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure you're getting excited.
Oh, you absolutely. It's the love, the passion. It's that's what it is. You know, just to end this note, Drake, there's a lot of drivers in the world. There's a very few operators, and really hear me out for a second, but you think about this. There's 31 clubs. There's typically 2 to 3 drivers a club. These are the best. These are the best you come across. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
These guys know their business. They know what they're doing, how to do it, why to do it, when to do it, the whole deal. How to react to any action on that ice sheet during a game is a feat itself. Because there's no time for panic or anything like that. This is you got to be so composed. You know, you imagine the pane of glass breaking or, you know, a door comes swinging open or, you know, something like that. You got to know what you're doing to get out there and handle that. You know, live TV, 18,000, 19,000 people in the building. You better know your stuff. You know, these guys are the best of the best. I take my hat off to each and every learn your ice, you talk to an ice maker from a club. And I could talk to, you know, Al in Detroit?
No. I'd like to.
If you ever want to, well, I'll tell you what. If I can talk to the, if it's okay, if I can get this guy's number, you know, if we don't talk business, whatever. But if you want to, I'm sure I can meet you, get you hooked up with Al Skibolka. He's 44 years
Come
with
on.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, man. If you can do that for me, that'd be phenomenal.
Listen, I just talked to him last night. He calls me all the time. Because we're going to be holding a conference in Las Vegas in 3 years, the NHL conference, just for the ice makers. And this will be Al. He says, George, I got to come out because it's your building. This will be his 50th year in the business.
Unbelievable. And it's such a legend around here, too.
Oh, Al? Oh, he's great. I was on the phone with him last night, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let
me reach out to Al. If it's okay with Kat, I'll get your phone number, your personal number, whatever.
Absolutely.
If you have my email, send me your number. I'll reach out to Al, and I'll hook you guys up. Maybe you can go there and give you a tour of the building or something. He's a good guy. He's a good cat.
Thank you so much. And like, I was just gonna
sweetheart.
Yeah, like when you're talking about all the NHL guys, I was going to say, like, it's an honor for me to even talk to you. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this, George.
No, anytime. Great city, brother.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey everyone, we're back here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. That was George Salami, ice crew chief of the Vegas Golden Knights and T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. What an opportunity it was to speak to him and hopefully get some more contacts in the ice crew NHL guys. I don't know how to even put it. The Zamboni guys in the NHL. Hopefully we can link up with Al Sabatka in Detroit. But I'm just grateful to have spoken to George and to have him on the show. It was a true honor, and obviously it was very educational for me. For any of you guys out there that may be curious about that conversation, look up some Zamboni stuff online on YouTube, honestly. Just like anything else, you can learn a lot of stuff on the internet. But just to kind of basically break it down to you here, it might be hard to explain, but the Zamboni has a big giant blade. Like picture your shaver, your razor. Giant blade that goes across the bottom of the machine, and as it goes around and cleans the ice with the water and kind of sucks up all the snow that's there, it's actually cutting a new layer into the ice. So that's what he's talking about when his two machines take off a full bucket. I had worked, if you guys didn't know, I was a Zamboni driver for a number of years. Part-time, they only wanted us to take a quarter of a tank every time we went out there because we were doing this for recreational purposes and for kids and stuff, so we just kind of get in there and get out. So that compared to what he's doing, he's taking a full bucket on two machines. And also, like we had mentioned, it's for NHL players. Like I had mentioned at WSU with the Spitfires, they would go out for a practice and there would be a whole layer of snow just from them and their skates digging into the ice. So imagine what it's like at the highest level in the NHL plus doing that. So it's just really cool to have spoken to him about that stuff, and hopefully some people that I worked with or anyone that I know that's doing that listen to this interview and learned a few things from George. Obviously, he's an expert. He's doing NHL ice, and again, it was just an honor to speak to him, and hopefully we'll have him back here on the show and we can keep in touch. But yeah, we're going to take the time now to break down some local sports news, just some updates. Not a lot of events going on this weekend. First off, the Windsor-Essex Sports Hall of Fame introduced their newest inductees for October last week, and they are headlined by boxer Mary Spencer and former NHLer Andy Delmore. That full story was shared on our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and of course on our new website, WinCitySports.com. And again, the event will be going down in October, so stay tuned for more updates on that. 3D Canada Global Sports represented Canada in the 40th annual William Jones Cup out in Taiwan. It is obviously a basketball tournament comprised of, I think, 10 different countries, including obviously Taiwan, China, Japan, the U.S., Canada, and so much more. And for the second year in a row, Canada took home that title. On the day that I'm speaking right now, I talked to Shaquille Keith. He is a right now he's a former Windsor Express player along with Logan Stutz. They were both players on this squad, along with Windsor Lancers head coach Chris Oliver. So some Windsor ties to this team, and obviously a lot of all Canadians, a lot of Toronto guys. And again, for the second year in a row, they took home this championship. It's a huge accomplishment for Canada basketball to be recognized for their skill. And next week we will have Shaq on the show, and more about that later on. But just a quick congratulations to them. They had 9 games in 10 days, and I think they only lost one in the first round of the series, or what, the round robin. So the first games, they only lost one out of all the 9 teams that they had played. Hockey Canada recently did a piece on Mikey DiPietro this week, the Windsor Spitfire starting and standout goalie. They seem to have some promise for him. It looks like he has a bright future. He lit it up at the Hockey Canada Operations Camp not too long ago, and they have the OHL Showcase Camp coming up at the end of August. So still hoping the best for Mikey, and I don't know if we'll see him back this year or not, but we will find out soon. Time will tell. I'm sure we'll see him for at least a couple games, but who knows what will happen between now and hockey season. It's not really a lot of events or games or anything going on this weekend. Both the Windsor TFC and Windsor Rogues Rugby Club will be back home next week. The TFC have a game at 4 p.m. at McHugh Field here in Windsor on Saturday, August 11th, when they take on the North Mississauga SC. The Windsor Rogues rugby team will be back at AKO Park next Saturday also. Game time should be at 12 and 3 p.m. I don't know if they have 2 games going on because we are hitting the playoffs now. Both teams, when we talk about our soccer and rugby team, they're both winless, so hoping the best for both of them. We'll at least have some rugby action down at AKO Field this next weekend, and as well as we still have a lot of home games left. For the soccer team, we still have, I think, 4 home games and another away game before playoffs even start. But I think that's all this week for Wind City Sports. New episodes drop every Thursday live at 8 p.m. on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor, Ontario, in Detroit, Michigan, and then replays on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. for your drive home. You can hear every single episode on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever podcasts are found. Stream or download them off our new Wind City Sports website as well, windcitysports.com. Be able to listen to every single episode we've ever done. Get updates on guest announcements, videos, Twitter feeds, and everything else you need to know about Wind City Sports. If you're curious about the show, we have the About section. You can check it out, and a little bit about myself. Your host, Drake DeMore. We're here every Thursday with new episodes with interviews featuring local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and much, much more. As I had mentioned earlier in the show, though, next week we will have Windsor Express's Shaquille Keith. He was also part of the Team Canada 3D Global Sports team out in Taiwan and is now a 2-time back-to-back Williams Cup, William Jones Cup champion. So look forward to speaking with him. It's going to be a great one. Very charismatic young dude. So until then, smell you later.